kind of can't remember what I talked about on my last show, but my brain is not 100% because I haven't been 100%. I haven't been well. But anyways, I'm here, and consider this your official trigger warning. Okay, body dysmorphia. This is something that has plagued me my entire life. I'm going to go back, way back. I was a chubby child. Now, I don't know if I was chubbier than I should have been, but I do know that I had a much thinner older sister. My father had nicknames for everyone, and he called my older sister Stick because she was so thin. My nickname was Boots. That's B-O-O-T-S. Now, he says that he called me Boots because I always wore these little boots. I have no memory of any boots. I say he called me Boots because the next door neighbor had this enormously fat cat, and the cat's name was Boots. So I think he thought I was enormously fat, and he called me Boots. And really, at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter what the truth is. It just matters how I interpreted it. And I interpreted it as my sister was skinny and I was fat. And that set off a lifetime of referring to myself as fat. Now, I wasn't some kid that like sat around all day and ate snacks. I was busy running, jumping, cartwheels, gymnastics, basketball, jump rope, swimming, diving, synchronized swimming, riding my bike. Busy, 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 busy. I never really had any feelings about my body except that my body was a tool that allowed me to ride bikes and do the things that I wanted to do. It wasn't really until I started to develop that I realized that my body had power. Now, I didn't know if this power was mine to keep or if I had to use the power to dissuade or attract interest in me. This paradox is not common. Most people don't think that deeply about things. The paradox existed for me because my parents were divorced when I was 10 years old, and my father was chasing his youth. He was smoking pot, hanging out with people much younger than him, and he lived in a very sexually charged environment. Conversely, my mother remarried a convicted sexual predator. That bitch had terrible taste. So I was in one household feeling sexual power as a 12-year-old and in another household trying to be asexual around someone I deemed as dangerous. I held this belief for the majority of my life that I was fat, but not in a traditionally fat way, like I was quote unquote overweight. I was just chubby. I was not quote unquote overweight. I was just chubby. I seemed to have a lot of skinny friends, and I would be mesmerized by how they moved their bodies in these skinny frames. I would say things to myself like, well, at least I don't look like a stick, or at least I'm not flat-chested, or at least I'm not shapeless. But this was just a way for me to guard myself against judgments from the outside because I was so busy judging myself from the inside. This summer, between my freshman and sophomore year in high school, I lost a lot of weight. I probably lost 10 pounds, maybe 15, but as a 16-year-old in a 5'1" frame, 15 pounds is a lot. I remember right before my sophomore year in high school started, someone said to me, "How did you get so skinny?" And I said, like matter-of-factly, "I just stopped eating." Like that was a normal way to lose weight. I was weighing in at about 97 pounds, but I still monitored the food that I was eating, and I felt incredible power in my starvation. I wouldn't say that I developed disordered eating. I would just say that I was infatuated with my thin frame. A little bit ago, I was talking to my youngest daughter about delusions that I had about myself, and I asked her if she had these same delusions, and not so ironically, she actually has a few of them. The first one that we have in common is I never thought I was short. I mean, can you believe that? I felt like all my friends were the same height, and we all looked at each other right in the eyes. And only the really tall, athletic girls were not my same height. My daughter says this all the time. She's like, I forget that I'm short. I just think that I'm like a regular height until sometimes I see pictures and then I go, oh my God, I'm so short. But like, that's not the world we walk around in. We just think we're like everyone else. The other thing that I believed is that I was really tough. I firmly believe that I could handle any situation, any confrontation, any argument, any fight. I believe that I could kick anyone's ass. I remember in college, I was riding the city bus with my then boyfriend, and a bunch of guys from the barrio got on the bus. This was in Tucson. And they were kind of talking shit. And I started talking back, like, what was wrong with me? My boyfriend was terrified. He literally said to me, you're going to get my ass kicked. And then what? But I believed that I could handle myself against these four or five hoodlums. Where did this delusion come from? My daughter said that she has the same thing. Like, she thinks she's not short, and she thinks she's really tough. And for some reason, I'm proud of that. I think you should walk through the world with confidence, an air of, I don't know, not superiority, but an air of confidence or bravado, so that nobody pushes you around. And if someone does push you around, you need to react like a crazy person and fight back. Don't you wish I was your mom? I sound crazy. Okay. Unfortunately, not only did I pass on this air of superiority, but I also passed on body dysmorphia. Every time I looked in the mirror, I saw my flaws. I still do to this day. Now, the dichotomy between what I say to myself, like, you're so fat, this is the fattest you've ever been, how did you get so fat, and how I behave are not in the same realm. It's not like I walk into the store and go over to the size 16 clothes and start trying stuff on. My brain knows that I wear a size 4 petite, but my eyes are not so rooted in reality. There was a time when my daughter stopped playing sports and got really thin. She didn't do it necessarily on purpose, but that was the end result. And I could relate to that high you get when you lose weight and you feel those hip bones and you can feel your ribs and you can see your collarbones. I know how good that feels. And I know that for me and possibly for my daughters, it's such a good feeling that you don't want it to end. Even if what it takes to stay that small size, that thin frame, is difficult and potentially dangerous. It gets old when you're constantly saying, oh my God, I'm so fat. Oh my God, I can't eat that. Oh my God, I need to exercise. Oh my God, how am I going to fit into that dress for the party? Nobody wants to hear that, especially a person who's comfortable with their body, who's of a normal, whatever normal is, size, and they don't obsess over their reflection in every minor change. But I can't stop. I constantly look at people and see them in the absolute best light. People that I love, that is. Strangers are subject to my incredible judgments, and I don't feel good about it. It's a terrible habit. I wouldn't say that I got over my disordered eating as I got older, but what I will say is that when you're a mother and you're preparing food for your family, you're very conscientious about fruits and vegetables and proteins and starches and fueling these little bodies so that they can do wonderful things. Now that my children are grown, I have terrible eating habits. I don't spend any time thinking about food, and I spend way too much time depriving myself in order to earn those 12 M&Ms. Way more time depriving myself than fueling the machine that moves me around this world. The internet has created an entire demographic that glamorizes disordered eating, starvation, binging, purging, and all methods of creating waif-life bodies. As dangerous as this is, a little part of my brain understands it, and I'm not proud of that either. There are many ways to reach a goal of thin enough. There's something called exercise orexia, where you exercise to such extremes in order to maintain your thin frame. I could never suffer from this because I'm not motivated and I'm hardwired for lazy, as you well know. So combining excessive exercise with calorie counting, carbohydrate counting, macros and micros and starving and intermittent fasting, we've created monsters, little hungry monsters. And it makes me really sad. Mostly it makes me sad because I know what's coming for these girls. Eventually, menopause is coming for them. Menopause is the predictable, intangible, that is going to wreck your body. It gifted me with enormous breasts and 25 pounds of extra weight. I was busting out all over. I couldn't stand to see myself naked. I hated getting dressed up for anything because I felt stuffed into whatever I was wearing. I found many unhealthy ways to cope with my negative body image. And all I can say is, thank God I was married and still raising my girls, because I could have literally become a sex addict, an alcoholic, a drug addict, a disordered eating, sick person. I got through menopause pretty easily, however, and I got a breast reduction, so that really helped. And then I got old. Today, I'm the thinnest I've been in the last 20 years, and I'm not mad about it. I do wish that I had healthier eating habits, but I don't. I'm a pescatarian, and I try to avoid anything too fattening. I gave up alcohol 2 years ago. I took up a wellness challenge so that my thin, frail, osteoporosis, rheumatoid arthritis-ridden body has a chance of standing up and thriving long enough to play with my grandchildren on the floor. I don't have any answers, but I did spend some time in a mental health hospital with a lot of people who had diagnosed disordered eating conditions. And to a person, they told the same story. Having control over their body, whether negative or positive, was a way to survive trauma in their lives. Controlling how, what, where, when, and how much food you eat or don't eat gives you a feeling of power and control in an environment that you otherwise have very little control over. I relate to this mentality in the way that my childhood and teenage years were sexually charged, both in environment and experience, in abuse, and eventually from my own free will. The way I felt about food was relating the feeling of being full to being in pain. If I ate to the point of feeling full, I could use my self-loathing as a weapon to avoid any feelings of being a victim. It's really complicated, and there's no way to talk about how young women who use food as coping mechanisms for trauma in a way that is simple. It does a disservice to the suffering that is often quiet but always visible. So occasionally I see this young woman who walks around the upper part of a neighborhood where I live, and I can tell by her intensity and the placid look on her face that she's trying to walk out her suffering. She is positively skeletal, and yet her clothes are very revealing. She wears little, like, booty shorts, skin tight, like exercise shorts and like a crop top, and you're seeing some stuff. And when I see her, I try to catch her eye and smile at her. I want her to know that I can see her, because many women who are suffering the way she is are literally trying to disappear. Anyways, this whole decision to talk about body dysmorphia started because I'm trying to take a personal inventory and have conversations with my daughters that I would have loved to have with a mother when I was younger. My mother was a terrible human. She allowed things to happen to her daughters because she was afraid of being alone. That is positively forgivable. It's unforgettable too, but mostly unforgivable. I never want my daughters to feel like they can't tell me something, or we can't discuss something, or troubleshoot something, or just hug it out. I like to say, if my daughters call and they say, you know, I want to talk to you about something, I try to say, in my own way, not exactly these words, although I have used these words, do you want to be heard? Do you want to be hugged? Do you want to be heard? Do you want to be hugged? Or do you want to be helped? Because sometimes they just want to be heard. And they don't live close enough for me to actually hug them, but I could, you know, wrap my arms around them over the phone. Or do they want me to help them? I will make sure that they always have what I never had. And in doing that, I want to be acutely aware of any damage I may have done through my own inability to heal my childhood demons. This is probably not the last time I'll talk about body dysmorphia, but it's going to be it for today because, trigger warning or not, it's such a heavy subject. And I have seen negative behaviors against these incredible bodies that we're gifted with result in some terrifying outcomes, from taking your own life to cutting to, as I talked about, abuse with alcohol, drugs, sex, just ways to numb without doing the work to heal. And it's not easy. It's really difficult. This is not really about body dysmorphia, but it kind of is. They used to do this thing, and they probably still do it. When my girls were little, they would do like body composition kind of things in PE class, and do like, you know, what your, what do they call that? I guess it's body composition, right? Like your fat to weight, height to weight to fat ratio. And I got a note sent home that my daughter was not on the healthy scale, that she was unhealthy, like too heavy for her stature. And I was like, okay, hopefully they hadn't told her that. So I took her to the pediatrician. And I said, you know, this is something that they're concerned about. And, you know, I wanted her to get a complete physical so that I have a record of, you know, that she's healthy. You know, I don't know if it's going to be on her permanent record. God forbid she run for president and they say she was obese in fifth grade. But so my regular pediatrician wasn't in, so I had like the nurse practitioner. So she did this whole thing. And then she said to me, yeah, I mean, based on her height and her weight, she's obese. And I was enraged. I was like, please take a look at my child. Please look at how muscular she is. Please let me tell you the athletics that she performs on a weekly basis, the teams she plays on, the practices she goes to. How in the world can someone in the medical profession tell a 9-year-old that they're obese? I mean, I was wild. I wrote a letter to the school board. I mean, it was crazy. But I don't know that that was the right thing to do either. Like, I should have just shined it on, like, whatever, okay, talk amongst yourselves. This does not affect us. My daughter's an athlete. She's a stud. Wait till she starts growing. Look out, world. But I took it on, and I think she took it on. And that's bad on me. So I have spent my entire life talking about how terrible my body is. And, you know, when my girls were little, they'd be like, no, Mom, you're beautiful. And then as I got older, they were like, shut up. Like, nobody wants to hear that. And like, was I just saying it? So they would go, no, Mom, you're beautiful. I wasn't. This was a mechanism in my brain. This didn't have anything to do with feedback from anyone. I was feeding that monster inside of me that feels like I'm never thin enough. I'm never strong enough. I'm never perfect enough. But not in a way that I'm like some crazy overachiever, because, again, I'm lazy. But it's just a way to keep a little bit of self-loathing on the back burner in case I need to call on it to make myself feel like crap. I sound really mentally unwell, and I'm not. I mean, I've been therapized. I'm good. I dealt with all this crap. But some of those old tapes, it's hard to shut them off. It's hard to not think of myself as Boots, as the fat sister, as, you know, the one who didn't like to wear shorts when it was 106 degrees in Tucson, Arizona, because some guy once told me I had fat legs. I mean, I weigh 97 pounds. I'm pretty sure no matter how fat you think my legs are, I should still be able to wear shorts. But it's old tapes. It's stuff that you just can't unhear. And I hope and pray that my daughter's well, they're fortunate to be living in a time when everyone is very aware of, you know, what food does to us, what lack of exercise does to us, what mental instability does to us. So they have all the tools available to them to be balanced in what they eat, how much they drink, the exercise they give their bodies, the kind of sleep they get, all those things. Things that we never thought about when I was younger. We were just busting through life. For me personally, just trying to stay busy enough so I didn't have to go home. So anyways, that's it for body dysmorphia. No one needs to do a GoFundMe to pay for my therapy. I really don't need therapy. I just think it's an honest way to talk about how sometimes, no matter how healed you are and how the scar tissue has covered the wounds, there's still little things that remind you what it was like and where you came from. And I don't think that's necessarily terrible. I mean, for me, it's been helpful as a way to help other people, as a way to recognize the behaviors in other people, as a way for me to say, I get it. I know what that feels like. You know, when I hear someone say, oh God, I can't even look at pictures of myself. I'm so hideous. And instead of me saying, no, you're not. What are you talking about? You're gorgeous. I say, oh, that makes me so sad. Tell me what it is that you see. Because that's really all that matters. They don't need you to tell them they're beautiful. They need you to hear that they're in pain and they can't see their own beauty and their own promise and their own abilities. And we have to hear that. We have to acknowledge that. And we have to let them talk about it. And that's really the best thing for any of those things. And as for the girl that walks in my neighborhood, I see you. And maybe you don't want to be seen, but I'm going to keep seeing you and smiling at you and hoping that it helps you get through one more day. Okay, let's do some radio business. I'm going to do underwriters 28 and 29. I don't know who they are. It's going to be a surprise to all of us, which is kind of fun. Let me get my underwriter thingamajig. 28 and 29. Stand by, folks. What's the dealio?
The Sebastopol Community Cultural Center is a nonprofit organization founded in 1982. They are dedicated to enriching the community through events, classes, and services, as well as providing rental spaces for special happenings in our town. To contact the SCCC, to volunteer, to donate, or just check out their events, visit seb.org or give them a call at 707-823-1511.
A big cow's thanks goes out to Heidi at ShipshapeSystems.com for her support of community radio. Heidi works to help clients bring mind, body, and spirit in harmony using a process called conscious connected breathing. To find out more about her service, you can visit ShipshapeSystems.com. Cows thanks North Coast Solar for their ongoing support. They have been supplying residential and commercial businesses with solar power since 1984. Their website, ncsr.com, contains information about how to improve energy reliability. They can be reached at 707-575-3999. North Coast Solar is proud to sponsor Uncle Charlie's Jukebox here on Cows every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific.
Cows thanks Stockholm Construction, a union company with decades of experience in completing construction projects throughout Sonoma County. You can find out more by visiting StockholmConstruction.com. Stockholm Construction proudly tunes into the Roots of Rock every Sunday morning at 7 Pacific on Cows.
We've talked about this before. It's random, okay? I promise. So I'm sure everyone's seen the new Starbucks commercial about their new protein drinks. And I'm sure it makes you want to listen to my show because Sierra's song, Level Up, is played in the commercial. The first time that it debuted was during Sunday Night Football, Thursday Night Football. And I got so many texts about, oh my gosh, your song's on Sunday Night Football on a commercial. Have you seen it? Da-da-da-da-da. I have a friend, and she thought the opening of my show was, like, made for my show. She didn't realize it was an actual song. And that made me so happy. But it is a real song, and Ciara is a real artist, and she's married to the quarterback, Russell Wilson. And I'm sure she got paid a boatload of money to have her song on the Starbucks commercial. And I just use it with permission from the radio station. But we're all leveling up, aren't we? Even Starbucks. I want to try those protein drinks. If anyone's tried them, let me know if they're good or not. My daughter said they're probably terrible, but she's a coffee snob, so I don't know. So I picked out some songs to play today. They're actually songs from Tuesday's episode of Dancing with the Stars, the three songs that I heard during the telecast. And I knew them. It's like I knew the words to the songs, and some of the songs I was like, gosh, I know that song. They were familiar to me, but unfamiliar enough that I didn't know the titles and I had to look them up. So I'm going to play three songs and I'll announce them. And then I got this book. It's called Poems and Prayers. It's by Matthew McConaughey. And I know either you love him or you hate him, but I kind of love him. And I really don't want to apologize for that. So I'm kind of going through his book and I might do a reading from his book. But I have some other radio stuff that I'm going to read. A public service announcement. The California Bluegrass Association has been dedicated to the preservation of bluegrass, gospel, and old-time music since 1975, sponsoring concerts and music camps throughout California. They have been a longtime supporter of CALS Radio, and we encourage you to get involved in their mission. For more information, they can be reached at 310-207-5114, or you can also find out more about them online at cbaweb.org, California Bluegrass Association web.org. So that's a PSA. And then I have another PSA. And it says, were you aware that one in every six people in Sonoma County is in need of food assistance? The Redwood Empire Food Bank remains committed to providing food to hungry children, adults, and seniors throughout the year. There are many ways you can make a difference. For every dollar you donate, the Redwood Empire Food Bank can provide two meals for our neighbors in need. For more information, please visit refb.org or call 707-523-7900 today. The Redwood Empire Food Bank is one of my charities that I donate to. I donate money to them three times a month and every year for year-end donation. Hungry children is something that should not be happening in the richest country in the world. So that is my charity of choice. The final bit of announcing is a CALS program promotion announcement. It's called Way Out in the Garage. Join Chaz, alter ego of CALS Radio's Uncle Charlie Adams, on the second Wednesday of each month at 6 p.m. for Way Out in the Garage. He'll be bringing you the many strains of music usually spawned in that very setting, the garage. Collectors have always dug deep into the treasure trove of rare recordings and occasionally even hits that feature the rougher, wilder, edgier, often cruder and sophomoric, he's going to hate that, but really cool sphere of garage music. There are even some current performers carrying on the style. Once a month, Charlie will stick around after his jukebox show and magically morph into Chaz for this adventurous hour. So tune in on the second Wednesday of each month at 6 in the evening for this originally produced CALS Community Radio program at 92.5 FM and streaming live at KOWSFM.com. You are listening to Level Up by Danny on KOWS LP 92.5 FM in Occidental, California, and streaming on the web at KOWSFM.com. So that's a radio business. Now I'm going to play my first song. Where did I write the name of the songs down? I put them on a piece of paper so I wouldn't forget. And then I promptly forgot. Okay, let me go into my playlist. It's going to be down at the bottom because it's a new, they're new songs. So the first song, I don't know if you guys watch Dancing with the Stars, but, you know, I'm here for all of it. The first song is from the dance that Robert Irwin did with Whitney. Whitney's the pro. He's the celebrity. The Crocodile Hunter's Kid. And it's You'll Be in My Heart by Phil Collins. I'm sorry. This song is spectacular. And somebody needs to play this song at my funeral. So who's ever keeping my funeral list, this is the vibe I'm going for, okay?
Come stop. Take my hand, hold it tight. I will protect you from all around you. I will be here, don't you cry. For one so small, you seem so strong. My arms will hold you, keep you safe and warm. This bond between us can't be broken.
No.
Right? Isn't that a good one? Yeah, it's a good song. The next one is Rescue by Lauren Daigle. And the girl that danced to this was Jen, who's the Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. And she danced with her mom. I do a whole Dancing with the Stars review on Wednesday morning on my TikTok channel, which is always good for a laugh if you all are into Dancing with the Stars, even if you're not. I think I'm funny. Okay, so I'm going to play Rescue by Lauren Daigle. This is a tearjerker. You don't have to play this one at my funeral.
Never been a moment that you were forgotten. You are not hopeless. Though you have been broken, your innocence stolen. I hear you whisper underneath your breath. I hear your SOS, your SOS. I will send out an army to find you in the middle of the darkest night. It's true.
marching to reach you in the middle of the hardest fight. It's true, I will rescue you.
Oh, that was a good song. We sing that to our inner child. We're here to rescue her. Okay, so the last song, I got to tell you, it stunned me. It's like I was listening to it, and I was like, God, I know that song. How do I know that song? And it just didn't come to me, and then I looked it up. I think this is the one that Alex Earle danced to with Val Schmierkowski. I love Val. Anyways, it's Heal by Jamal Roberts. And Jamal won American Idol last year. I predicted him during the tryouts that he was going to be the winner. I can't believe I didn't recognize the song. But, you know, they're not sung by the artists. They're sung by Ray Chu Live. I'm such a Dancing with the Stars nerd. Okay, so I'm going to play Heal by Jamal Roberts. And I'm going to come back and do a reading by Matthew McConaughey. Here's Heal by Jamal Roberts.
Mama, and take my take mama, and take my pain like an empty bottle takes the rain. And heal. And take my past and take my like an empty cell takes the wind and tell me something.
Praise, praise, praise. That's Jamal Roberts. Oh, love that song. Okay. Poems and Prayers by Matthew McConaughey. The one I chose is called Sometimes, and literally it's a rando. It's on page 145. Sometimes I pray for guidance. Sometimes I bow in confession. Sometimes I ask for courage or to remember a learned lesson. Sometimes I pray to unload some bullshit that's weighing me down. Sometimes I pray for forgiveness to find grace behind my frown. Sometimes I pray for change and the courage to move on to a place that's hopefully up where I remember what is gone. Sometimes prayer's just a conversation with my conscience testing my creed. So the whispers of the truth can grow from thought to deed. I pray to lean into my blind spots, to highlight the laws of beauty, to seek and correct my aims with freedom and on duty, to realize that the unseen, which I many times deem as opposition, is more often just the unknown of a daring proposition. I don't know. What do you think of that? He's got some, you know, really short ones, like this one's called Valentine's Day. Too many white roses, not enough red. I wish you loved me as much as life, she said. One last time, is it yay or nay? And that's when my feet stepped away. That sounds terrible. Let's see if I can come up with anything else that he did that was quick. Oh, God, I'm not going to read that. That's terrible. Meet you in the middle. At the edge of our property line, on the border between where we're from, I'll see your past, you'll see mine, with a limit to lean on and hindsight. It's here, we'll get along fine. Let me read that correctly. At the edge of our property line, on the border between where we're from, I'll see your past, you'll see mine. With a limit to lean on and hindsight, it's here, we'll get along fine. No, I don't like that one. May our heart carry our feet. Amen. Huh. Love is a poem. Ooh, this is a good little mantra. Never give up your right to do the next right thing. This is how we find our way home. Wow. All right, well, I'm going to read the whole book, and who knows, he might show up again on one of my shows. let's see, today's the 16th. My next episode is going to be on the radio on October 30th. For whatever that's worth. That's in 2 weeks. Between now and then, I'm going to take a trip to Arizona for a few days. I'm going to continue to get well. I'm going to continue to heal my lungs, which are inflamed and infected and coughing and producing mucus. And no one's getting any sleep. And everyone wants me to go find a new place to live. Just kidding. But, you know, sleep is at a premium when I cough all night. Sister Mary coughs a lot. Coughosaurus. Coffee McCofferson. I have a lot of stage names. but I'm going to do all the things. Whatever they have that they think can make me feel better, I'm going to take it. I literally told my pulmonologist yesterday, I'm like, if you told me that the only way for me to get better stand by was for me to shoot heroin, I would say draw it up in the needle and I'll tie off my arm. Like, I'm willing to try anything. I just can't cough anymore. It's disrupting everything that I like about my life. So I did want to give some updates on some of the things that I talked about on previous shows. I was talking about a living donor for my friend who needs a kidney. And he has two matches. So that's really good. There's just, you know, at the infancy of the process of making sure the matches are healthy enough and all the things, but it's going to happen. He's going to get a kidney transplant, and it's going to be from a live donor. So I'm so happy. And I want to thank everyone that filled out the paperwork or signed up to be tested, because this is a perfect example of it takes a village. And he had lots of people do their part, and I'm so appreciative of that, if I had even a small part to play in that. Since I was on the radio last, I turned 63 years old. I went to Vegas and saw the Eagles at the Sphere, and it was spectacular. If you can go and see them, they've extended through February. It's worth it. It doesn't matter where you sit. As long as you're in the Sphere, you're going to have an experience. It was so good. I can't say enough about it. It was my fourth time seeing them, and the show is spectacular. Their voices are still on point. You can see some changes in that, you know, they're aging, and maybe they like to sit a little bit more or, you know, lean against something while they're playing their instruments, but that's okay because they're still one of the best bands around. My husband and I are going to see Cat Stevens on Saturday. We have two tickets if somebody loves Cat Stevens and they want to go with us. You know, he's not everyone's cup of tea, but it's on my husband's bucket list, so I'm excited we're going to San Francisco to see him. And I think it's going to be really good. What else do I know? What else do I have? I don't know. You know, I love doing this gig. I like putting my little TikToks out there. I still haven't started my other show with my sister, Off the Rails with Danny and Shaney, but, you know, we're cooking up some ideas. I'm trying to get some studio time so that we can record a show and get it out there on my Spotify. But I appreciate everyone's support. A lot of you listen on Spotify tomorrow when I put it up on my Spotify channel, because it's hard to listen live. I understand. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a Thursday. People have jobs. I mean, not this person, but people. The baseball playoffs are going on right now. That stupid team from LA is in it against my Milwaukee Brewers. I'm Brewers all the way. The Mariners are playing the Toronto Blue Jays. I'd like to see the Blue Jays go, because I just feel like they have a lot of, you know, really solid players. Their lineup is stacked, even though they're not really known. I mean, except for Vlad. Is it Vlad Guerrero? Romero? Guerrero? No. Yeah, Vlad Guerrero. Yeah, he's known. Everyone knows him. Anyways, they won last night. The Seattle Mariners were up 2-0, 2-0, and the Blue Jays pulled one out last night, and they looked dominant. They won 13-4, I think. And the stupid team from LA is up 2-0 over my Brewers, so the Brewers gotta really hit one out of the park tonight. Kind of a big fan of their first baseman, so that's Andrew Vaughn, a local boy from Santa Rosa. So anyways, that's your sports update. It's opening of the NBA season next week. My daughter in Dallas is going to the opening night game. So if you watch the game, she's going to be on TV right behind the whoever they're playing. I don't even know who the Mavericks are playing, but she's behind the visitor's bench in like the third row or something. So you'll see my Grace on TV. And then Sunday night, my daughter Leah, not this Sunday, next Sunday, because it's next Sunday. It's next Wednesday that the season opens. She's going to visit Grace. So Grace and Leah are going to the game on Sunday night. Mavericks against, I don't know, whoever they're playing. And they're also going to be behind the visitor's bench. So you can see both my girls on TV if you're watching the games. And I don't know if it's televised, or I think Sunday's is nationally televised. The other one you probably won't be able to see because there's so many opening night games. The Warriors open up in LA against the Lakers. So, you know, I'll be watching that, but I'll be in Arizona. Okay, that's all I know. I think we did a good show today. We played some new music, some old music that was new. We talked about problems. We opened our hearts to people who are suffering. And we're always here to give an ear and see people, really see people. We don't have to solve everyone's problems. People just want to be heard and acknowledged and know that they matter. And you all matter to me. Okay, this has been Level Up with Danny. I'm your host, Danny Stockham. I'm going to go home and watch Young and the Restless. I love that show. Okay, have a great day. Take care of each other. And look for me on the interwebs. TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat. I'm everywhere. I'm everywhere. I am everywhere. Bye. We're going to talk about mental health and death by suicide. Until then, let's take care of each other. Love you guys. You know.
Our piano man.